A general note for clarification, in the following interviews, you may hear those interviewed refer to learning mindsets as academic mindsets. The field around learning mindsets and skills is constantly shifting, and so too is our vocabulary. Recently, the Raikes Foundation conducted extensive research regarding the field and arrived at the title Learning Mindsets and Skills, Empowering Students to Unlock Their Potential. Rest assured that whether those interviewed are referring to academic mindsets or learning mindsets and skills, they are talking about the same thing. Welcome to the Learning Mindsets and Skills Massive Open Online Course Podcast Series. This series is brought to you by the High Tech High Graduate School of Education with support from the Raikes Foundation on the Coursera On Demand MOOC platform. Details about this massive open online course, as well as other courses offered by High Tech High, can be found at www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs. That's www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs. In the final podcast of week 2, we continue the theme of measurement and assessment for academic mindsets with another great mind from the academic field.
My name is Gia Trung, and I'm the CEO and Superintendent of Envision Education.
Gia gives us a little insight into exactly what Envision Education does.
Envision Education is a very unique organization. We have two divisions. One is a CMO, Charter Management Organization, that runs actual high schools. The other piece is a consulting division that takes the best practices from those high schools and share them with districts. And our hope is that with our small kind of local impact of Envision Schools, we use Envision Learning Partners to do a larger national scale.
At the 2015 Deeper Learning Conference, Gia was part of a live discussion. In it, she first began telling a few stories about students that have had a major impact on not just those at Envision, but herself as an individual in the education world.
So the first student that I will never forget, her name is Leah, and she's Samoan-American, and she was a student of mine. And when she started in her ninth grade year, she was very adamant about what she wants and what she doesn't want. She says, "Ms. Trung, I don't like to be called in the middle of class, so don't call on me because I will resist. And this is what I like. I like working in teams." And, you know, and I was like, okay, this girl knows what she wants and what she likes. And really tough. I mean, she had really a strong sense of family and with her Samoan brothers. And a colleague of mine worked really hard to support students with projects and with reading and writing. And when our kids took the CAESE, the California Ed Exam, 99 out of 100 students passed. And we were thrilled. Then we looked at the one that didn't pass, and it was Leah. And we were like, how are we going to tell her? Because she's going to flip out. And so we just said, we just need to just tell her. So she came in after school, and we said, you didn't pass. You're going to have to take it again. And here's the next date that you take it. And she said, okay. And then the next day she came in, she goes, okay, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? How am I going to pass? And we were like, wow. Like the power of her just knowing who she is, stating what she needs, and like, you know, and not letting that, you know, be a factor. Like, she's like, what are we going to do? You know? And she just came after school. And like with a lot of, a lot of our kids don't, I don't see it always in our kids, but like entitlement. You're our teacher, so get you know, help me pass. She came in, she passed the next time. So I will never forget her, because a lot of times what people see is, oh wow, that's the lowest skilled kid in your class. She's the one kid that didn't pass. But what I saw was, wow. I wish that all kids are like that. Like her sense of self and her sense of, you know, you that's your job as a teacher, and my job is to get educated, and let's do it. So that really resonated with me. Another story is actually a really high achiever. So it's a different story. This is Karima, who is in one of our schools now. She's a senior. And she is from Iran, and she has a big family. And I don't know how many, but 6 or 7, you know, sisters. And one younger one, but older ones. And she said to me that all her sisters, when they're 18, were married and had kids. And she wants to be in a college classroom when she's 18. And she wants to be the first in her family to graduate. And again, I'm like, wow. You know, all her sisters, and she wants to be the first, and she just got into Mills and St. Mary's and, you know, and all of these things, and she's, you know, looking at financial aid. But the determination that she had, and I'm fascinated by what, despite what is dealt, that these students are dealt with, the strength that within and their ability to move forward has always been fascinating. And those are the kids I'd never, never forget.
Gia also discussed the scale and scope of the work being done at Envision.
At Envision, we're really small. So we, 3 years ago, we started a consulting division, Envision Learning Partners, and the piece that we're figuring out is how to scale through Envision Learning Partners, with particularly with districts, that is a part of our interests. And it's interesting because when we have partners come into our schools and see our kids, that's when they like look, they really get it. They're like, okay, your kids look like our kids, especially in urban districts, and they can do that. Mm-hmm. And then they get it. Mm-hmm. But it's not an easy process. Like, it takes years of engagement. And kind of our next level with ELP is really figuring out how to get districts engaged in several years of work. Because I think a lot of times in education, we want the quick fix, the quick answer.
We sat down with Gia one-on-one to get more examples of just how Envision Education works.
So an example of how we do it in our Oakland school, and I think it's going to spread to our other schools. In our Oakland school, before they even come into the ninth grade, they go to UC Berkeley and they do a college trip. So, and they're sleeping in college dorms, and they get a little lunch card, and they pay for their lunch, and they actually team build and all those things. So it's already setting them up. Oh wow, this school is about getting us ready for college. The other thing that our principal in Oakland does really well is she looks at data of the eighth graders coming in. And she picks out a group that has not been successful in the past, either academically or behaviorally. And she picks them out, and she brings them in even earlier than the full group before the UC Berkeley trip. And she says, you've been chosen because you have shown leadership potential. I looked at your records. You've shown leadership potential. I want you to help lead this UC Berkeley trip. And she's already setting them up for a different high school identity, right? So, like, that's just an example of some of the things she does. The other thing that she does that I think is great is she always tells the kids, you know, some of you guys had a really hard middle school experience. This is your chance to be the person you want to be. This is your chance to come into a school and create your own identity. Like, she's really giving them a chance. And then she surrounds them with positive role models and UC Berkeley and all of those things. So most of our kids, I would say, you know, almost all of our kids come in very different. And then when they come in and the upperclassmen behave, you know, in a certain way, and they show a lot of academic identity, then the whole culture is just set in that way.
We finish by hearing from Gia about the impact Envision Education has on learning partners. As it turns out, this is something that has already been under some great consideration.
I think for us, and we've been thinking about this a lot, around broad-scale impact with Envision Learning Partners. So when we first started, and we were still quite young, when we first started, we were just about whatever you need, we will do. And now as we're thinking about impact and having a footprint, We've been thinking around, we want to still be responsive to the client needs, but how do we actually do some deep touches or deep relationship partnerships with a district? And we've been really thinking about small and medium-sized district where the conditions are there for them to like really engage with us. So if you have a, it depends on the scale. If you have a school that really does it well, then it could be a model for the other schools in the district. If you have a district that really does it well, they could possibly be a model for other districts, right? So we've been thinking a lot about that and are really thinking about proactively reaching out to districts and saying, you know, are you interested in this? We want to partner with you with this. And we can, but that requires a few years of work rather than just PD here, PD there. The light touches of PD is still very important to kind of spread, but the deep touches and that proof point lets people know it's possible. And then I think it's really powerful when you have a proof point, and then we have this at Envision Schools, is when folks come to your schools and they see what kids can do and how they show up, right? I think that's really powerful. But we don't just want it at Envision Schools. We want district schools to see it in their own districts, or you know, districts to see it in another district, not in a charter, but in a district. Folks tend to want to do something that's good for kids, and the evidence is in actually seeing the kids and hearing them, right? And creating those model schools where they can actually see kids and hear them. Because when we have three schools. We have one in San Francisco, one in Oakland, and one in Hayward, and they're all, you know, fantastic. But people are really interested in coming to Oakland because of the reputation of Oakland, and it's been underperforming for, black and brown kids are underperforming nationally, so we have to do something different. But in Oakland, it's been, you know, it has a really poor reputation. People are interested in coming to Oakland. When they do come to Oakland, they feel it. They come in and the kids are engaged. The kids say hi to you. They smile. And when you go into classes, they are absolutely engaged in the work. They're having academic conversations. You know, they talk about their college success portfolio or their benchmark, which is the 10th grade defense. They talk about colleges they've applied to. It's a whole different arena. When you picture going into an Oakland school, you picture chaos and, you know, disrespect, and that's not the kids. It's the environment in which that brings it out. So when they do see that, that's when they're like, oh yeah, if kids in Oakland can do that, then kids in, you know, my district can do that. And yeah, of course they can. It's just we have to set up the conditions in which to do it.
This podcast and other podcasts like it is available through Libsyn, which allows you to listen to podcasts on iTunes as well as all other podcast dissemination services. To access our library of podcasts, visit www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs and click on the podcast logo. That's www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs and click on the podcast logo.